trying to make a circle thing there.
Nice, okay.
Anyway, Joe, good morning, Joe Patrick, our own Joe Patrick, doing double duty, and thank you for getting up and joining us, man.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm enjoying the sound effects. I'm enjoying the comparisons between Bob Seger and Michael McDonald. So
you like that? You like that?
It's been a fun show so far.
Yeah, man. Hey, if you like that, you're really going to love this. You know how we started the show with our stories of the week? Do you know that we have a second moon coming? In the 29th, Earth will have, for 57 days, a second moon. Y'all can go look it up. We talked about it this morning. Yeah, it's called a mini moon.
How about that?
It's a mini moon. So I haven't had much insignificant information this morning. I thought I'd throw that one out there for you.
They're going to mess with the oceans? Like, isn't that like the waves are done by the moon or
we
something?
We don't know, man.
Are they going to throw off the rotational axis?
we might see some orcas playing soccer. I don't know what's going to happen. But things will change just a little bit, especially when Mother Nature gets involved here. And especially since you're – listen, I love hitting Joe with these facts before he gets a deep dive into this.
Okay.
Because he used to be our baseball dude, too.
Yeah, no.
Today was the day of the – and I absolutely believe this to be the only record in sports that's unbreakable. And that is Cy Young's 511 wins. Cy Young got his last victory on this date. And you could mention any other one. I put my money on the fact that this one will never be broken.
Yeah, probably. I would not bet against that. You're right. You know, there are a lot of baseball records where it seems like it couldn't be broken, but really it probably could. Like, you know, Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak is one that feels like it's never – but, you know, it could. It could happen. The 511 wins, especially with the way the modern game is, that is never happening.
Yep. Not at all.
Hey, it'll be another 300 winner.
Oh, no.
The way Verlander just went on the shelf, and he was the closest.
Yep. The way they work them these days. Man, we got the Chiefs in town tonight, and the Falcons work a short work week for the Falcons, you know, to get prepared for this. That's the tough assignment. You want to feel good about Monday night, but you couldn't feel good about it for long because you had this game coming up.
Yeah, the assignments don't get too much tougher than this, right, guys? I mean, gosh, and the quarterback that you know the Chiefs have in Patrick Mahomes is. If for every team, you know, he's the toughest one to face because he is the best quarterback in the NFL, hands down. But, you know, just everything he can do is particularly troublesome for what the Falcons team has struggled with, not just this year, not even necessarily this year, but just in recent years, they've really struggled with these mobile quarterbacks. So it'll be interesting to see how they do, although they've played a couple more mobile quarterbacks so far this year. Maybe that gives them a little bit of a better expectation as to, you know, how to kind of rush this guy. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's been an interesting couple of weeks here for the Falcons because there was so much optimism and excitement for the team. And there still is obviously heading into the season. Then they lose that game to the Steelers. And then you see a lot of that turn into, you know, frustration, even despair basically over how that game went. But then you kind of get it all back with that thrilling Monday night victory. And I think that the team is actually, and probably fans are maybe even feeling better about this Falcons team with the way that they've gone 1-1 versus I think how we expected them to go 1-1, which was to kind of, you know, maybe struggle, but beat that Steelers team in week one and then kind of get handily beaten on Monday Night Football on the road. I think that's how a lot of people expected things to go. The fact that you went on the road, the chips were against you, and you had to get a little bit of help from the Eagles to get the ball back at the time you did, but then to see Kirk Cousins drive that team down the field, I think that's where we finally got a lot of buy-in from the fan base on this offense, and especially with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Because prior to that, you know, there had been a lot of, you know, errors, you know, just – it wasn't the most the prettiest thing to watch, obviously, especially when you factor in week one. But, you know, I think everybody's kind of understands now what he brings to the table and what he brings to these playmakers on the Falcons offense with the way he handled that last 2-minute drive. And hopefully they can just kind of carry, you know, a lot of that feeling over into this game tonight where there's going to be obviously a ton of eyeballs in the country watching.
Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. But moreover, it's the sense that the Falcons took advantage of the mistakes of others.
Yes.
As opposed to causing them or having them happen and you don't capitalize on them, watching Kirk Cousins do what everybody who's been watching football since the time they were eight, they all know that a quarterback coming into a new system feels most comfortable in that two-minute drill because everybody is locked into where they got to be. And the defense has got to do their best to try to stop them. But that's one of those comfort zones that NFL quarterbacks know they have. So him doing exactly what you expect him to do, that's got to provide a level of comfort going into this game. Yeah, they're playing Kansas City, but the guy, hey, listen, Saquon dropping it, whoever, whatever the reason is, we'll take it. But they still did what they had to do. They capitalized on the mistakes of others, which is something we can't have always said about this team.
Yeah, and you know, with the players who's what the players have said about, you know, Kirk and that two-minute drive was just that he was very calm. He was, you know, very just kind of focused on the task at hand and not making it a bigger deal than what it was, which was they just had to put, you know, seven or eight plays together and go down and score. And, you know, that they – but they just had to do it one play at a time and that, you know, he kind of just had the guys all together – not really thinking about the moment, you know, or how important that game was to their season, whatnot. It wasn't there wasn't an inspirational speech talking about how they need to go, you know, do this thing and whatever. It was just, you know, we need to go do our jobs and get down the field. And that's what you get, I think, when you have a veteran quarterback, like you said, Greg. I mean, you know, this team has not really had that figure since Matt Ryan. And I think that a lot of these skill position players and the offense in general has suffered for it. Not that, you know, these quarterbacks in the past haven't had some moments here or there, but, you know, I think that everybody has so much belief in Kirk, and Kirk almost is like an executive among the players. You know, like you have the coaches who are kind of executives, but he kind of is able to, you know, channel that aspect of the game onto the field and be able to kind of get everybody on board and moving in the same direction. And I think that obviously that didn't really happen so much in the Steelers game, and that's what had people worried. But I think that you really started to see it, and that's what's gotten so many people on board and got people so excited after that Eagles game.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline on this game day Sunday with Joe Patrick. He is social. You find him at JAPatrick200, JAPatrick200. Joe talks about the Falcons defense and how they attack this. You know, you got Patrick Mahomes, but he doesn't seem like he's going to have too much of a running game with him tonight.
Yeah.
Talk about what the Falcons defense can do considering that fact.
Yeah, the Chiefs running back, Isaiah Pacheco, has kind of been their running back now for the last, you know, few years. He's going to be out tonight. He's been placed on IR. So they're going to be shorthanded at the running back position tonight, no doubt about it. And they've got, you know, some other interesting pieces that I think are they're a lot different than Isaiah Pacheco in the way that he moves. And it's a big loss for them because, you know, again, like with a lot of positions, a lot of roles on an NFL team, it's not just about running the ball that the running back is responsible for. There's so many important things in the passing game that he's responsible for, whether that's pass protection or being an outlet for Patrick Mahomes, who looks for him very often. And I think that these backup running backs that they have are not going to be as quite as adept as Isaiah Pacheco was in that respect in the passing game, actually. So, you know, I think that they're going to lose a lot there with him. But they've got some different kinds of guys who are going to run with a little bit more power. Just, you know, maybe not as shifty as Pacheco, but, you know, can pick up some yards after contact. And the Falcons are going to have to be keyed in on that. But I think that obviously it's a big help for them. And I think, you know, the hope is that you kind of just catch the Chiefs on one of those nights where, you know, they're not at their best, which, you know, it's not like while they've won a ton of Super Bowls here in the last handful of years, it's not like they have been unbeatable by any means during the regular season. And I think that that's what should give Falcons fans a lot of hopes for this game tonight, which is that I think this team is still trying to work out some of the kinks. They're missing Isaiah Pacheco, like you mentioned. They're missing Hollywood Brown, who was supposed to come in and be a real difference maker for this offense. He's likely going to be out for the season. You know, he was supposed to be the field stretcher. Now that kind of falls on the rookie Xavier Worthy. He's very, very green in like who he is as an NFL player. So, you know, I don't think that this offense is necessarily clicking on all cylinders. We've seen Patrick Mahomes throw a few interceptions so far through a couple games. So I think that there's going to be some opportunities for this Falcons defense to make some plays. I think that Patrick Mahomes is probably going to put the ball, you know, in harm's way a couple times in this game. And can they capitalize on those turnovers? We talked earlier about, you know, this team being able to, like you said, Greg, earlier about the, you know, that Eagles drive, the Falcons were able to capitalize off of, you know, the mistakes the Eagles made late in that game. And that was so great to see, because that so often happens in the reverse, where it's the Falcons making the mistakes and other teams capitalize. And I think that there's that kind of scene that continues on the defensive side of the ball, looking at this Chiefs offense. Can they capitalize when the Chiefs, like I said, just kind of put the ball in harm's way? And can they keep that offense off the field? I mean, that's going to be a big part also for this offense, is to just keep that offense, that Chiefs offense, on the sideline. But, you know, I think there's going to be plays to be made. The Chiefs are about a field goal favorite, a little bit over a field goal favorite. But I think a lot of people would have thought that it would be a lot bigger difference than that between these two teams. But it just goes to show that the oddsmakers know that this is, you know, maybe not a 50-50 game, but it's still very, very up in the air, and the Falcons have a good chance to come away with a win.
All right, listen, here's the deal. We're going to let you go and, you know, go back and take a nap, because you got to get back at it later on today doing double duty. We want to thank you. Joe and John Fricke are going to be out smooth lot from 4 until 6.
All right.
Getting ready for today's game. And, well, listen, we're going to get you back here next week or week after, whenever your schedule allows. And when we talk about this Falcons team, not just the team, but I want to get your thoughts on the two teams that the Falcons are looking up at. When we started this conversation about this season, Sam, it was all about the Falcons' division to lose. And then as we sit here now, people are saying really, really nice things about David Carr, which I never heard before, and forget about it, Baker Mayfield's looking like he's going to the Pro Bowl, which is another thing we didn't think we'd see. So whether this is sustainable, I don't know. But when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the division, along with our Falcons.
And it will be interesting, because they play those two teams coming up after this week. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that a lot after this Sunday night.
That's what I lined it up for, buddy. Have a good day today.
Thanks, Joe.
And thank you, as always.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.